Exodus chapter 17. You may say, this is a strange portion for Easter. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 17, beginning at verse 8, as we continue our series on the names of God, getting to know God through his names. And today, beginning at verse 8 of chapter 17, we'll be reading through the end of the chapter. The scripture records that the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." So Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the victory won through Jesus, the victory over death and the grave, and the hope that we have through you, our Joshua, our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that you are alive. And as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and encourage us today through your word, as we get to know you again through your names that so beautifully reveal your character and your nature in our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate and commemorate the Lord's victory over sin, death, and the grave. He indeed is our living Lord. He is our victor, and he is the banner that is waving over our lives. Today, as we continue our series on getting to know God through his names, today we come to the name Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi meaning Jehovah the Lord. Is Nissi, meaning a banner, or my standard, that which is over me, that which I rally to. Today we want to focus on Jesus alive, who is our banner, the one who brings us hope. In the context of this scripture, in Exodus chapter 17, 2 weeks had passed in time since the Israelites had experienced the bitter waters of Marah. You remember we were at the bitter waters of Marah when we learned that name together, Jehovah Rapha, when the Lord, our healer, healed the water and made it fit for the people to drink. And we saw him as our healer. And 2 weeks of time had passed. Since then, the Lord had taken them into the wilderness, and they experienced hunger, and they complained about not having anything to eat. So the Lord rained down upon them manna and provided for them manna every day and quail. Manna, bread from heaven, a picture of Jesus, our supplier. And then they complained that they didn't have anything to drink. And they were thirsty. So the Lord took them to a rock and told Moses to strike the rock. And from the rock, water came. We understand in the New Testament that Paul said that rock was Christ, that he is the water of life. So we've seen that Jesus was the healer, Jesus was the bread of life, and Jesus is the water of life. And so now they come to a time of battle. And through these times of trial and testing, Israel had experienced God in the desert, being revealing as his provider and through all the necessities of life. They were tested through times of bitterness. They were tested through times of plenty. They were tested through times of lack. But now Israel was going to be tested by a new enemy. And that is a battle of conflict, of war. And then they had seen how God had provided for their basic needs. but would God be with them and give them victory in the battles that they were about to face? Same question you and I have. We had seen how God was faithful to provide for our daily needs as the bread of life and the water of life and healing. But is God faithful to give you victory when we face battles in our life every day? Is the same God able to provide victory over those things? And the answer is yes. The Israelites are going to encounter that as the Lord revealed that he is Jehovah Nissi, the banner, the one who was going to give victory, the one to rally behind. And they were going to discover that he alone was their source of victory and that he can defeat all enemies. When they came to the Red Sea, they were told to stand back and let God fight. Moses, the Lord said to Moses, stand still and see the deliverance God is going to bring to you today. But now as they meet the Amalekites, they were going to have to engage in battle. Because you and I have to engage in battle every day. As a believer, we find ourselves in the midst of spiritual warfare. When you become a believer in Christ, you have a target on your back by Satan. And he opposes us. And is our Lord, the banner, able to give us victory when we face him and we build a temptation? Lifting up Jesus, our banner, the living Lord over us, as Moses lifted up the banner, the living Lord, a picture of the living Lord, brought victory to Israel. Lifting up the living banner over us gives us victory as well and does three things to us. First, lifting up the living Lord, our banner, assures us of victory. We are assured because why? The grave is empty. Because the victory has been won by Jesus. And you and I are assured that we will have victory. Just as the Amalekites did, they had to learn as they went into battle that they were going to have victory over their enemies, the Amalekites. It says in verse 8 that the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. That word Rephidim means rest or place of rest. While they were resting, and often when we are resting or down is when we often find Satan attacking us. It's often when we find that conflict arise. And the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites. And the first question we have to ask and answer is, who were the Amalekites? Who were these people that the Israelites found themselves engaged in battle with? To better understand this story, we got to understand them. And the Amalekites were the enemy of God's people, the Israelites. They were the descendants of Amalek. That's where that name Amalekites come from. And Amalek was the son of Eliphaz, who was the son of Esau, making him the grandson of Esau and the great-grandson of Isaac, or the great-great-grandson of Abraham. So they were distant cousins of the Israelites, descendants of Jacob's brother Esau. They lived in constant battle against God's people. In fact, the Bible says that Esau held a grudge, and that grudge was passed on to his descendants. Amalek, the name Amalek means dweller in a valley, and they lived in this desert south of around Kadesh Barnea, south of Canaan. And they were a very warlike, nomadic group of people. That's what they were known for. They were very warlike, and they attacked. They often attacked people from the rear, assaulting the stragglers, the weak, and the vulnerable. And they attacked unfairly, unexpectedly, and unremittingly. Now, you and I face an enemy who likes to attack us when we're weak and when we're vulnerable, doesn't he? And he will attack us unfairly. He will attack us unexpectedly. And he will attack us unremittingly. And he will not let up his assault. Who is our enemy that we face? Satan. And he, as well, is an enemy of God's people who attacks us. So that's who the Amalekites were, but who are our Amalekites? Who are the enemies we face in our life? Well, the Bible identifies the world as one of our enemies, the world and its system, which is opposed to God, the flesh, which is our evil desire, our sinful desires within us, that is a constant battle that is raging against us, and always wanting to do our will instead of God's, and the devil. And those are the Amalekites that you and I face and rush into battle with every day. Is our Lord able to give us victory over the Amalekites? Do you think he can? Our living Lord, as we lift up the banner of him over us, those are the Amalekites. And we win that victory through the provision of his power. Notice it says that when the Amalekites came and attacked in verse 8, Moses said to Joshua, the name Joshua meaning savior, said to Joshua, choose some of the men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill, significant again, on top of the hill, with the staff of God in my hands. And he lifted up the staff of God. And the staff of God, why is that significant? Because the staff of God was a symbol of the reality of God's omnipotent power over evil, nature, and every circumstance, no matter how hopeless. It was the staff of God that Moses had used to part to touch the Red Sea, and God parted it. It was the staff of God that he used to touch the Nile River, and it turned to blood. It's the staff of God that he used to turn to a snake. It showed God's power at work. And as he lifted up the staff of God, it showed the power of God at work through our risen Lord. By Moses raising the staff of God, he was showing that he looked to God alone for victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. So as he stood on top of the hill and lifted the staff, it says that as long as he kept his arms up, the people, the Israelites were winning. But when he brought his arms down, the Amalekites were winning. What's that teaching us? What that was teaching was that as long as the power, we were trusting in the power of the Lord, we have victory. But when we start to fight the battles in our own strength, we're going to lose and the Amalekites are going to take over. If we're not relying on God's power, the power of the risen Lord in our life, the Amalekites, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to overtake us. But it's only whenever we lift up the banner of the Lord, his power, that gives us strength to have victory. We are assured of victory when we have the power of the risen Lord, that same power that brought Jesus out of the grave, its resurrection power, the same power that he come out of and triumphant over death, grave, and the enemy, he has in work in our life. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says that he is the living one who conquered death in the grave, and he alone holds the keys to death in the grave in his hand. And Jesus says, I have overcome the world through his power. Through the resurrected power of Christ at work in your life, you and I can have victory over sin. We can have victory over our doubts, over our enemy who attacks us, over the Amalekites in our life. Because 3 days changed everything when he came out of the grave and death has been defeated. And the scripture says the last enemy to be defeated is death. And where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? When we lay someone in the grave, we have the power to know that Jesus has taken that power of death away. He has crushed the head of the evil one, and he has won the war. And when we rely on his power, we alone have victory as well. We also have victory through the promise of his presence. As Moses held up the staff, the people down below, as they were fighting down below, they could see Moses holding up the staff of God in his hand. And they looked up and it reminded them that God was present with them. God was fighting with them in the battle. And we have the risen Lord who was with us, that he is out of the grave. And he says, I am with you always. And we know that we don't fight the battle alone. We fight it in his power, but we know that he's right here with us because we have a risen Lord who has conquered the grave and is alive. The staff of God was a symbol of the reality of God's abiding presence and his personal involvement in the lives of the people. That Jesus is present with us and he's personally involved. We sang earlier, he walks with me and he talks with me, and we know he lives with us and he lives in us. And so the promise of his presence and peace in your life assures us that victory over the Amalekites in our life is assured. Moses lifting up the staff of God in his hand became a living banner symbolizing God's presence to help his people win the victory, just as our living Lord who is present with us now and always will be. The battle is also assured through the practice of his intercession. Notice it says that as the battle was raging and the Israelites were fighting down below, it was getting long. And Moses, in holding his arms up, had to reveal the power of God. But as his arms came down and the Amalekites were beginning to take advantage, Aaron and Hur, on both sides of him, would hold his arms up. And Moses, with his arms held up, was a sign of intercession, that he was interceding on behalf of the people below. And it takes intercession on the mountain as well as intervention in the valley for us to win the victory. And the scripture tells us that today, you're our risen Lord. Jesus Christ is in heaven where he is right now interceding for you. That when the battle gets rough and we're down here fighting and we get discouraged, he is before the Father interceding night and day constantly for you. Aren't you thankful for that? Because he is alive, that's where he is, holding up you before the Father in intercession. And the scripture says when we don't know how to pray because the battle was so intense, we don't know how to express how we're feeling to the Father, he intercedes on our behalf. And when we fall into sin and when we fail him, he again intercedes before the Father on our defense. Say, Father, he's my child. I died for him. Intercession, through the practice of his intercession, the victory is won through Jesus. Thank God our banner over us is victory through Jesus. And through Moses on the top of the hill with the staff of God in his hand was a picture of intercession, just as Jesus intercedes for us. And we also have victory assured through the persistence of faithfulness. It says here that Moses, when he got tired, they would stand on one side of him and the other, Aaron. But notice what it says in verse 12. So he sat, his hands remained steady until sunset. That word steady most often is translated in the Bible as faithfulness. That he remained steady and faithful as the battle was raging. And the Israelites down below remained faithful and engaged in the battle until it was done. And then it said Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Again, Joshua being the name Jesus. Jesus overcame our enemy. And the victory was won. With the Lord's banner, Jehovah Nissi, flying over your life, victory is assured because his banner over you is victory. Praise God. The tomb is empty. He's alive. The victory is won. But also lifting up the banner over the living Lord over us reminds us of his faithfulness, of how faithful he is and what he's done. Verse 14, after the battle was won, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll with something to be remembered. What he did right now, we're talking about it. It was something that we would remember what God did. And he said, make sure Joshua hears it because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. So the Lord, Moses built an altar and he named it, the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi, as a memorial, as a reminder of the faithfulness of God. The empty tomb as a reminder of God's faithfulness, of what he has done. That he died on the cross, he rose again, he paid for your sin and mine, and then he rose from the tomb and he conquered and he won. And what he has done for us, it is a reminder. And Jehovah Nissi, when we lift him up, our Lord, he's a reminder of his faithfulness to us in the past. All of what he has done for you. And think back in your life. God has been faithful through good and bad, hasn't he? He's faithful every day. Great is his faithfulness. And be reminded of that. But it's also reassured of what he will do. He said, make this a memorial. Write it down as something to be remembered so that Joshua can be reminded of what I will do. But he also says in verse 14, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. He said, this is what I'm going to yet do. And he reminded Moses that the work is not done. I'm going to continue to be faithful to you in the future. So when you think back of what I did for you in the past, it can reassure you that I am going to be faithful in the future. Because of the empty tomb, we know that God is faithful to us and he will continue to be. Those times when we fail him, he will continue to be forgiving of us. He will continue to show his grace. We know that we have a home assured in heaven. We know that we will be with the Lord someday because of what he has done in the past, right? It's faithful. Praise God that he is faithfulness. The victory, the Lord our banner, is victory over us, but it's also faithfulness. That he is faithful to do what he has done and what he will do. And so I ask you this morning, are you commemorating the past victories that Jehovah Nissi, our living Lord, has given you over the Amalekites in your life? So that in wars, in future wars, you will be reminded of his faithfulness to provide victory in his way and his timing, because he's will. Think back of how he was faithful to give you victory over those Amalekites. That in the future, he will give you the same victory if we continue to trust and rely on his power, because he's faithful. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? He does not change. And we can be assured of that. He is our banner. He is faithful. His faithfulness is waving over us. But third, lifting up the living Lord, our banner, summons us to action. It calls us and moves us to action, just as the women, when they saw Jesus, the empty tomb, they came there to anoint his body, and they saw the angel. And the angel said, he's alive. Why are you standing here looking for the living among the dead? He's alive. Come and see where he is laid, but then go and tell others, tell the brothers that he's alive and he's going ahead of you. It summoned them to action. And when we see our living Lord as well, it said Moses built an altar and he called it, the Lord is my banner, verse 15. And then in verse 16, he said, for hands were lifted up as a throne to the Lord, to the throne of the Lord, and the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Lifting up the living Lord, our banner, reminds us, summons us to action, because it gives us an ensign to follow. It gives us an ensign or a standard to follow. The Hebrew word, which is translated banner, is related to the word translated standard. And it is often used for pole, on which the bronze serpent was placed, and the manner providing the picture of Jesus being lifted up to the cross. Typically, it was meant to point as a symbol to point people to God alone who heals and who Jesus is. Jesus is our ensign to follow. And he, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says, in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse that will stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles will seek him, and his resting place, Rephidim, will be glorious, because he has been lifted up. He is the ensign. He is the standard. He is the one put on the pole. And John, Jesus said in John chapter 3, as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. And he is lifted up to draw us to himself. He is the one we follow. That is the Lord, my banner, that pole was lifted up and they look to it. It reminds us that Jesus alone, Christ alone, is who we worship and serve. But it also gives us a standard to bear. And that standard to bear is Christ's likeness. A banner is a standard. Another word for banner is standard, from which we get the song, Star Spangled Banner. It's a standard that bears the colors by which a military unit is identified and behind which troops will rally when they're marching. A standard bearer then becomes the person who carries the colors and the person that carries it into battle and carries those banners that they identify behind and rally behind. The standard bearer carries the colors by which the troops fall in line behind. The English word banner comes from the word bandera, which is Low Latin, meaning a banner. It has come to mean flag or standard carried at the head of a military band or body to indicate a line of march or the rallying point. And that's Jesus, the standard that we bear. We lift him up as his standard, the one we follow, Christ's likeness. And as the pole was lifted up, the Lord our banner, he was saying, Jesus is our standard. He is the one we follow. He's the one we worship. He is a standard we bear. He is the one we fall in line behind. He is the one we march to. He is the one receives the one we pledge allegiance to, and the one who receives our full ounce and measure of devotion. but it also gives us a cause to fight for. His banner over us is love, the scripture says. And when Moses held the pole up, staff of God, his banner over them, they had a cause to fight for as they went into battle. The Amalekites were attacking them. They had a cause, and they looked to the standard, and they had a cause. We have a cause to fight for, and that's Jesus Christ, our hope of eternal life in him, our hope of being in heaven with him, and the eternal life that waits gives us a cause to remain in the battle. And when the war gets weary, and when the enemy Amalekites are overtaking us, sometimes it's easy for us to give up and to forsake on the battle and to desert it. But we can continue fighting the battle because we know that Jesus is waving over us. He's our standard. He has won the battle for us, and he has a place assured for us. And it gives us the cause, the strength to continue on. He is our rallying point. He is our battle cry and our battle rally into action. Seeing the Lord and rallying behind him as our banner lifts us above the fray of the battle and the accusations of the evil one. And when the evil one comes to accuse us, knowing that the Lord is our banner interceding for us gives us the strength to continue that battle. When the shots of the enemy and his arrows are being flung at us, knowing that the Lord is in that battle with us and that the battle belongs to him gives us the strength to hang in there and continue to keep fighting. It gives us the strength not to give up. And the first battle of Bull Run in the Civil War, the first of the battles of the Civil War, General Thomas Jackson was leading the Confederate troops from Northern Virginia. And in the fray of the battle, when the shots are being fired all around him, he was sitting strong on his horse, and he stood and strong there, and people looked up at him, and they saw him on his horse, and they said, "There stands Jackson like a stone wall." And then they said, "Rally behind the Virginians, boys." And they looked up, and they saw him there, and it gave him strength to endure. And from that point on, he was known, and they had victory that day, and from that point on, he was known as General Stonewall Jackson, because he stood strong in the midst of the battle. And his standing strong was an inspiration to those around him to continue fighting. And we look to Jesus, who overcame for us and won the victory. And it gives us strength to continue on in our battle against the Amalekites when the enemy is attacking us daily. Because he won the battle, and we will win it through him. And it gives us a mission to accomplish. A mission that his banner waving over us, our living Lord, the one who won for us, who called us to action. It says he built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." And then it says in verse 16, "The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." They had a mission to accomplish. And God gives us that mission. And what is our mission? To slay the Amalekites. Their mission was to slay the Amalekites as they were attacking him. Ours is as well to slay the Amalekites in our life, the war, our enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil that are fighting against us, to not let them overtake us, but under the power of the Lord to slay them. Because according to God's word, what are we to do to the Amalekites? Look at verse 14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this down as a scroll, something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will," what? "Completely wipe out the Amalekites from the earth," their memory. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 19, as Moses was recalling this event to the next generation, ready to go in and take the promised land 40 years later, he said the same thing, that the Lord said, "I will completely destroy the Amalekites and wipe them out. I want them completely destroyed. Don't let any of them leave." So that's what we're called to do. But what happens if we allow the Amalekites to continue on in our life? We allow the sin to continue to go on unchecked. It can destroy us. Later on, the Amalekites were always a problem for Israel. And later on, God, when the first king, Saul, was chosen to become king, the Amalekites were still fighting against Israel all these years later. So the Lord said to King Saul, I want you through Samuel to go into battle to completely destroy all the Amalekites. Don't let any single one of them alive, and get rid and completely kill them. And so he went into battle. He killed the Amalekites, but he left the king alive. And he brought some back of the best of the sheep for himself. And left King Agag alive and didn't fully obey God. And Samuel said, what have you done? And he said, I obeyed God. He said, no, you didn't. You didn't obey him fully. And he left King Agag alive, didn't fully obey. You say, well, what's the big deal? Years later, there was a descendant of Agag whose name was Haman. And Haman rose to power in Persia under the time of Queen Esther. And he came up with the plot to try to completely destroy all of the Israelites on one day, which he chose by Purim. And eventually God interceded and had Haman killed. But because they didn't completely destroy the Amalekites, that was a problem. What can happen in our life as well? The illustration of the deadliness of sin left unchecked in our life and not brought into victory comes from a tragic call of a 911 call, Scott, where a 911 call from a woman who could only state that she needed help because she was being killed. That's all she could say. So when the police arrived, they found the bloody knife beside her lifeless body on the kitchen floor. Blood was spattered across the room. Yet when the police examined the body, they found to their amazement that there was not a single cut or puncture wound on her body anywhere. The only evidence on her body was a large mark across her chest and neck. That was it. Then they noticed a trail of blood leading into the next room. So they followed it, and following the blood, they found a dying boa constrictor. The woman had apparently raised the snake as a pet. And on this particular day, the snake apparently wrapped itself around the woman as she prepared the food in the kitchen. For whatever reason, she had allowed the snake to entwine itself around her body. And once the muscular snake began to constrict itself, the woman apparently sensed that she was in danger, so she grabbed a knife and began to slash away at the snake. She managed to mortally wound the snake, but she was killed in the process. And that's an illustration of what sin left unchecked in our life can do to us spiritually. And so the Lord says our mission is to destroy the Amalekites. He's won the victory for us and made it possible through our resurrected Lord. And his mission also is to tell the good news. That is, when we experienced the resurrection of Jesus, as the women at the tomb saw that Jesus was alive and how their life was changed, and they were to tell that message. When Mary got to the tomb and she thought Jesus was dead, and she was weeping, and she saw Jesus alive, and her life was changed, she went and ran to tell the disciples, he's alive. I've seen Jesus. My life is different. And that mission for us is the same. To share the banner of Jesus over us, that he is our victor. His banner is love. His banner is faithfulness. And that he is alive, and that we can live through him. The victory is won. So Jehovah Nissi, our living Lord, is our banner. Victory assured when he waves over us and when we trust and rely on his power, because he is faithful, he is loving, and he calls us to action. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for you, our living Lord, who is the banner that is waving over our life, the one who was placed on the pole that we rally behind, the one who was lifted up for us. That through your strength and your strength only, we can win, have battle and win victory over the Amalekites in our life, over the world, its attraction and lure, over the flesh and our desires that will against you, and over the devil that you have crushed with your resurrection, the final mortal blow. But Lord, we can only win that battle through you, the resurrected Lord. And when our hands are down, when we're fighting it in our own strength, the Amalekites are going to overtake us. But it's only when our hands are lifted up to you, when we're relying on your power alone, for the battle is yours, that then we can have that victory through your resurrection power, knowing that you are with us by the battle side and in the battle, interceding praying for us, giving us strength. And Lord, you are faithful. And just as you were faithful in the past, and the empty tomb is a reminder of your faithfulness, so you will be faithful to us and continue to be in the future. And we are assured of that. So Lord, help us to rally behind you, to slay those Amalekites in our life with your power, to share what you've done and the difference that you've made. Because when we see Jesus, we're not the same. And that your banner over us is victory, faithfulness, and love. And thank you, Father, for our risen Lord, our banner, our victor, our victorious one, our conquering King, and the one we trust in, the one we rally to, and who we follow, and whose standard we lift high. It's in the glorious name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.